Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Our scripture this evening is found in Mark chapter 5. And I'll begin at verse 21 through the end of the chapter. Afterward, we'll make confession with the church of all ages. Let us hear the word of God. Mark 5, 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to her, to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So far we read God's holy, inspired, and fallible word. Let us now make confession with the church of all ages and say in our hearts, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear congregation, we have before us tonight a center out of the story of which Mark has been telling us in this history of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was almost, we saw last week, an interruption in what had been taking place as Jairus had come to Jesus to have him come to his home where his daughter was sick unto death. And this interruption takes place in the middle of their trek and their journey to Jairus' house. And it seems to be to Jairus the end of the road. Yet we have seen it was used of the Lord to strengthen his faith. And the message which Mark, I think, wants to convey to us also is that as this woman too had such small faith, weak faith, misunderstood faith, that it was yet this faith of which Jesus speaks, a grain of a mustard seed that trusted in him. Jesus was going to also pause by this woman without passing on so that he might instruct her and teach her. It's not in the touch which she had touched him, but it was in her trust in him and her faith in him. And maybe you also in the past weeks, as we have been considering this marvelous history and the power and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe even this morning as we have considered the law of God, our convictions increase. And maybe you wonder as you look at your own life, is salvation possible? You wonder if you have ever believed, if you have that work of God in you. You wonder if this conviction which you have also experienced is perhaps gone deep enough. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him so that when you will leave this life, you know you are entering a better? In other words, have you, like this woman, heard his voice? Son or daughter, your faith has made you whole. Or are you perhaps, as we have been also hearing through the Gospel of Mark, there are many in the crowds who gather around Jesus. There are many who are interested in what he has to say. Even those who have brushed up alongside of Jesus, as we hear, there were many in this instance too who were thronging him, who were pressing against him. A popular man, as we also almost find it today in some of our society as well. If only we can just see the person and perhaps touch their clothes. We think there's some magical formula there. Is that all you have in your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you, as this woman, evidence by your life and by your own confession when she is called to come and confess all, she tells him everything. And her life is transformed by her, by his power, and her disease is healed. The Holy Spirit is needed to teach us these things, and we trust he will do so as we look at this natural history and then make applications also to our spiritual life as we will consider it from this history tonight with God's help. So we look at Mark 5, and I only want to read again verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Our theme is Jesus' healing power received by sinners.
And first thought is going to be the incurable disease, the disease of this woman. Our incurable disease, the disease of our sin. Second, the hearing ear. This woman had heard something. We all are hearing something from the Gospel of Mark. And every time we pick up the Scriptures, are hearing something, the hearing ear. But then, thirdly, the hand of faith. Does this hearing ear give rise to the hand of faith reaching forth and touching and believing and resting in Christ? Jesus' healing power received by sinners. We have before us, dear congregation, another well-known, simple, clear history. And we don't want to spend too much time on the history itself, but come to some of the spiritual lessons that this history will set before us. The chapter we are considering, we have looked at last time, is one which is also about this man Jairus, whose daughter was sick. Of course, on the way to Jairus' house, as we have said, there seems this pause in which this woman who has come up behind Jesus is healed. This woman, we know, has had a problem. She's had a continual flow of blood for 12 years. And children, we know that this woman also has attempted to bring healing, to bring some amount of restoration to her life. Because with this issue of blood, it meant that she was excluded from her own house. If she was married, we aren't told. But if she was married, her own husband likely would have divorced her. She was now an unclean person. She couldn't function in society. She couldn't go into the house of God or into the synagogue. She was completely, totally, continually unclean. She had spent all of her substance. She was suffering financially. She had nothing left to spend. She was suffering mentally as she considered that everyone else would have distanced themselves from her in society where she would be seen as an outcast. Medically, she was a wreck. There was none of the doctors of that day who could have healed her. No doubt she had went also to the religious doctors who had certain formulas of the rabbis of ages past who had written prescriptions for this type of thing, but nothing seemed to work. She was none the better. You see, in this woman, there is this desire to be made whole, to live. And that's true, I trust, for all of us. I don't think any of us are to the point where we really wish we would die tomorrow. We want to live, and if we find out the news we've got disease or cancer, we want to be made better. We want to live some more. But here was this woman who had spent everything. No doubt, as she looked at herself, she must have considered that she was an unclean. She was distanced from everyone. But this problem of her disease was something also that pointed to her spiritual disease. And when she had heard about Jesus, This is really, we could say, the beginning of her hope and her faith. She had heard from others who had told her about this miracle worker, this one named Jesus. And she is determined, as Jairus was determined, to find this man. And she thinks to herself, we are told, if she may but touch his garment. She doesn't want to be seen. She's attempted so many other things before and nothing worked. She wants to remain unseen. But she has heard of this man, Jesus, and she wants to be healed of this plague. And as we hear this history of this woman, doesn't it remind us about our spiritual state and condition of what we are? An issue of blood, 12 years. Constantly flowing from her body. And isn't that a description too of man in his sin? The Scriptures tell us that from the heart of man comes this fountain of iniquity. There is continually flowing out of man sin. And this woman knew if this flow of blood kept up and she was not healed, she was going to die. Maybe you feel like this woman. Maybe you have had some understanding of your sin and been convinced of its truth. And maybe, as we have heard this morning, the law has come home to your heart. Maybe not for 12 years, maybe for 12 hours or 12 months, 12 days, maybe for 60 years for that matter. It doesn't matter how long, but the point is, have we come to the place where this woman has come, where Jairus had come, without hope, without expectation anymore in themselves? That we are worthy, can only look forward to dying. Maybe like this woman, you have tried out many doctors too. You've tried to doctor yourself up. You've tried some home remedies. You've tried to turn to the Bible and begin reading and tried to search out the Scriptures. You began to pray and listen to sermons. You tried to stop speaking evil of others. You tried to stop lying or cursing or having those thoughts of lust that are flowing through your mind. The blood still flows. Maybe you've gone to hear the advice of doctors. Maybe Dr. Legalist, who says, but what you need to do is you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to make yourself better before you can be healed of your sins. You need to make yourself well before you can really get that final cleansing moment with Jesus. You need to do your devotions more consistently. You should be praying more. You should be having family devotions. You should be feeling and desiring certain things. You should really be listening to the preaching more. Remembering sermons better. If you wouldn't do this and you start doing that, then you would maybe be on the process of getting healed. Or maybe Dr. Condition has been giving you prescriptions. You come with conditions to the Lord. If this, then that. You read in the Word of God that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. And yet, you're living in the law, the condition that must be met. You must first have repentance. You must first trust to a certain degree. You must first have tears. You set before yourself all these conditions and you've heard what must happen on the way to Christ. Maybe, doctor, it will get better soon, has spoken to you. Don't be so sad and depressed. Cheer up and get this disease off your mind. And yet you can't. It's ever before your face. You have sinned against God. The issue of this sin keeps raising its ugly head. Maybe Dr. Tomorrow has spoken to you. It'll be better tomorrow. Just be patient. Today's not the day to worry about cleansing and salvation. Tomorrow will come soon enough. And tomorrow never comes. Or maybe Dr. Theology has come to you. You need to have all your theology proper and straight in your mind and in your understanding. You need to understand election and total depravity of man and holiness of God and sinfulness of man before you can come to Christ. And it seems to me that sometimes there are people who are spiritually burdened, diseased as this woman, and they speak to other people who don't know the great physician, but they pretend to know the way. Themselves have never really heeded the prescription of the great physician, and yet they issue prescriptions all day to everyone who talks to them. Some doctors will prescribe rigorous remedies. Maybe there are those doctors that say, unless you feel like this, unless you have experienced that, then, only then can you know that you are saved and in Christ. Maybe there's someone sitting here who says, but I don't feel all of that. My heart, I feel, is sometimes cold and it's sometimes hard as a stone. Maybe if it was soft, and maybe if I was crying, and maybe if I was so convicted, maybe then I would come like this woman. Maybe you say to me, but I've tried for years. But God hasn't accepted anything of what I have done, and I think I'm just going to go on my way, and after all, I'm just going to perish. And in all of these cases, we find there's lots of doctors with lots of remedies, and all they're trying to do is tell these people what they can't do. Physician, heal yourself. It's like going to a doctor with a broken leg, and he says, well, walk. Like going to a man who's blind, see. It's like telling a sinner, be healed. And such sinners never come to the point to surrender all, to flee to Christ and rest in Him alone. You see, if we understand as we have heard this morning, if we really come to believe and understand, we can never be made just by the law, then the gospel, what Christ has done, gives hope and gives life. Because all that comes out of me is a fountain of sin and iniquity that never stops. But there is in Him the great physician, healing and forgiveness that never ends. There is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, which fountain is Christ. And that's what this woman came to experience. You see, if we had to come to Jesus with a broken heart that we have made broken, we would never be saved. And so we are taught by the Scriptures, you may come to Jesus for a broken heart. To receive grace. And we need to understand that all the doctors and the physicians who point out other things than Christ and His sufficiency and His power are those who have not been trained by the great physician. They are imitators of the true. And the malady, dear friends, the sickness, the disease that we suffer can only be healed by this great physician. And it's incurable. From our side. It's impossible for us to save ourselves. This woman had gone 12 years to all manner of physician, was made nothing the better, spent all that she had. She was still outside. She was still flowing with blood. And if we need to contribute, as it were, to our salvation, one iota, one drop, one amount of anything, it's hopeless. And that's what this woman came to realize also. She had spent everything, and she was none the better. Maybe you have sat for 12 years or more under the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe you are 12 years old and you're not yet in Christ. You've wasted 12 precious years. You're not better than you were born. Actually, we'd have to say you're worse. Maybe you say you're waiting for Him. But if you're not saved, you're not getting better. And you're continuing to hold on to your old excuses, the old lies, and the fountain of sin continues to increase. Maybe you've reformed your life. You've tried to now begin reading and try to go to church and try to listen better. But outside of Christ, you find you're not one ounce happier. If you die today with all of that, you still have nothing. And that's with this woman too. She had tried everything. And she comes to her wit's end, to her only remedy, and now it's time for God to work. She's empty. She has nothing. Money is gone. She cries out to the Lamb of God. It is not presumption for this woman to come to Jesus. Presumption means you assume something to be true when it's not. Some would say it's presumption on this woman's part to think that she could come to Christ and be healed. It wasn't presumption at all. It would have been presumption if she would stay in her home thinking, well, somehow, some way, I'm going to be saved without going to the great physician. Without fleeing to the appointed Savior who is able to save to the uttermost. This woman was poor, needy, bankrupt. But she had heard of Jesus. This is our second thought. She had heard of Christ. And what was it that she had heard? Luke records for us that Jesus had just selected 12 disciples, and they had come down from the mountain with His disciples, and He met with a great multitude of people over a huge region. And they had come to hear Him and to be healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him. And virtue, we read, came out of Him and healed them all. And even if we turn back to chapter 3, verse 10, there we read, considered and read already, for He healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon Him for to touch Him, as many as had plagues. This, no doubt, was one of the things this woman had heard about Jesus, that He was the great healer. Maybe she had heard too about the stormy sea, and maybe she had heard about the Gadarene demonic. We are not told, but she had at least heard He's one who does miracles. And maybe she had also heard He is the Messiah, sent of God, the great prophet, the great teacher. Because she sees something in his robe. And likely it also, from the Gospels we can learn, these tassels that would have been on his robe to remind him of what God had told the children of Israel. Of course, the children of Israel had made it into a legalistic endeavor, putting these tassels on their robes as if they were more significant than other people in their community. But Jesus did it also in spirit to remind Himself that He was serving the Lord His God. And this rabbi, this teacher, this woman had heard of. And she comes to Him. Whatever she heard, it's obvious from this passage in Mark that she had a little understanding of Jesus. Small. Not big. Not even like the apostles, disciples. But very little. Even misunderstandings about Jesus. She was thinking, if only she could touch His garment, the hem of His robe, she would be healed. It was almost as if she had the idea that this robe of Jesus, since it was His, it would flow out some kind of power, some magical formula even. And yet she had this thought that it was Jesus who could heal. She had tried so many physicians already with no success. Would she be successful now? No doubt, as she comes behind Jesus in this press and crowd of people, she's somewhat afraid and timid and thinking, will He really heal me? Will He perhaps be angry? Maybe she had heard that He was the Son of God. And she didn't want to face him face to face. All the other positions she had ever went to were men just like people, just like she was. But here was a man who was different, who was the Lord from heaven. As we read this passage, we see that her thoughts were confused about Jesus. If she but could touch his garment, she'd be made whole like all the others. And she had nothing to offer him. So what should she do? And for us, it might be something like, for all my convictions and all my sin, is it enough? What about my feelings toward God? Is it enough? Should I cast myself upon Christ just as I am? That's the kind of frame no doubt this woman comes behind Jesus. She knows her disease is deadly, it's terminal. And so it is for many among us, I hope, who are outside of Christ. You see your sin and it's huge, it's large, it's weighty, it's pressing you down, it's condemning you. You have no hope. You have some vague idea about Jesus. It was sad that this woman who felt Jesus was trustworthy enough to heal her, that he wasn't trustworthy enough to ask him for it. Little did this woman understand of Jesus' love and compassion for sinners. Do you understand his compassion and love for sinners? And in this story, what we are going to see is it an illustration really of the genuineness and the power of this imperfect faith of this woman. And that Christ in mercy is going to teach this woman also regarding himself. And that's what he will do to us too. As we submit ourselves to his word. Even as we come to him with imperfect and weak faith. He will take his word and he will teach us. He will transform us. He will enlighten our understanding. He will work with his spirit to lead us in the way. And so we read that she had heard something. Faith comes by hearing. She begins to believe that word, even though it's much confusion about Christ. And she comes to him. And I ask you then in our second thought, do you know something of what this woman experienced? Her disease, in our case, the disease of sin. Continual flow, expecting no hope, death. But she heard of Jesus. This was her one hope now. This was her only expectation. He had healed all of those who had come to him by his power. She has one hope left. And that's it. Is that you? You come to the end of all hopes and expectations in yourself. You know it's all fruitless. You've tried many physicians, you're none the better. And every time you hear of Christ and what he's done for these people in Mark, what he's done for people you know in this congregation, what he's done for people you know in your family perhaps, you hear of Christ, is your heart begin to leap for hope and joy. Maybe you too can find deliverance. Maybe you too can be healed. Because none has ever been turned away. And you may know that Jesus too is God. But you ask, how can you meet him face to face? How can Jesus deal? How can he have dealings with me? Maybe that's the question you ask. And what if you make a mistake in coming to him? I ask you, can you really live without Him? Are you like this woman who's come to an end and all you have left is what you hear about Him? And though everyone else is thronging Him, yet there's something distinct going on in your heart. You see in Him all that you need. He's your only hope. Though you're confused about Him in your mind and in your own heart, what to believe, yet it's Him you need. And you don't even understand perhaps what it means to come to Christ as we talk about salvation. Maybe on the other hand, you heard and hear of much deception, much deceiving of one's souls, and so you have seen the deception of your own heart and the wickedness within, and so you hesitate, you are reserved, you know you're a deceiver by nature, and to flee to Christ, and you think to take hold upon Him would deceive yourself. You know yet you must come to a close with Christ. You know that salvation, that this work of which this woman experienced is of God. You know that you're commanded to repent and believe. You know that if you're ever to be saved, it's because of His grace and for His glory. And you know that if you're lost, it's your own fault. And yet there's still something that's keeping you back. Why don't you, as this woman, in all of her weakness and all of her frailties and misunderstandings, having heard of Him, why don't you flee? You shall be made whole, completely whole. Even when you come behind Him in the press, because faith in its seed form is trusting in Him, clinging to Him, believing in Him. And if I were to say to you tonight, if Jesus would really be here present, if truly in your own heart of hearts you know you would flee to Him, you would cling to Him, you would ask Him to save your soul, you would ask Him to wash and cleanse you from your sin, isn't that faith? If you confess He is one sufficient for all your need, that but one touch of the Master's garment is enough. Even a child can understand this. A touch of this woman, born out of trust and faith in Him. You see, it's not simply touching Jesus that saves, but it's the power that comes from Him and trusting in Him as this woman did. All of you sitting here have in some measure or other touched Jesus. Or we could say He has touched you. You have been baptized in His name. Some of you, many of you, have made confession of faith of His name. You come Sunday after Sunday and you hear His word through which He speaks and, as it were, passes through us, touches us. And yet, are you still bleeding profusely? Are you still this fountain of iniquity that rises up and day by day continues on? Are you like those in this crowd of people who are thronging Jesus? They're just passing by. They're touching Him too. But not like this woman. It is faith in this woman and the work of God that she comes and she touches. It's the work of the Spirit of Christ that brings this woman to trust in Him and cling to Him and hope in Him.
There comes a time, dear congregation, when this work of God comes to birth, as it were.
This woman, she's hiding. She's heard about Jesus. How long, we don't know. And how many times already she's thought about fleeing to Jesus, we don't know. But this day, she heard He was passing by. And she comes quietly in the press. She can't do without Him anymore.
There is a time in which sinners were dead in their trespasses and sins, and now by God's grace are made alive and they flee to Christ. They trust in Him.
And it may be the Lord uses over a period of time to convince sinners of their sinnership, to bring them to the place, as it were, of this spiritual birth that they flee to Christ.
This woman, no matter how much her conviction was, no matter how much her malady was, no matter how much her intent to come and touch Christ's garment was, it was not until she touched that she was made whole.
And there are some, perhaps, who find rest coming short of this, as it were, spiritual birth. They rest in their convictions. They rest in their having thoughts about spiritual things. They rest in that they're concerned. They rest in all these things. And they've not touched Christ.
This woman ventured everything. She must have Him. And you know, when you get to the bottom of it, it was really Christ who is drawing this woman. He knew who she was. Because when He turns around in this thick press of people and His disciples are sort of scoffingly saying, "Well, what do you mean someone touched you?" He knew. As He looked at this woman, Scriptures tell us, He turns around and looks at her. He wants to bring this knowledge from this woman to a confession upon her lips. And that's our last thought. The hand of faith that Jesus brings to light.
This woman had said, "If I may but touch His clothes," that's all she really wanted. She believed that would bring the healing. That was not, we could say, satisfactory to Christ. It was not a right understanding of who He was, a right perception of faith even. So Jesus, in His mercy and grace, is going to teach this woman also regarding faith. He will eventually say to her, "Daughter, it's your faith that has made you whole." He doesn't say, "Your touch of my garment has made you whole," which she thought. But He is going to lead her, "It's me, daughter." You see, the point of her thought was this. She had to learn it has nothing to do with her. It has nothing to do with her touching of His clothes, but it has everything to do with Christ. And so it must be with us. It's not in our faith or trusting or our believing and strength of that believing or trusting, or even the weakness of that faith or believing and trusting, but it's in Christ, in whom we believe, that we are safe. And so we can say it is certain on the basis of the Scriptures that whoever comes to Christ, even like this woman, even with such misconception as she had, "If I could but touch His garments," such will be made immediately whole.
It is by faith that we are saved. If you have a house or a building and there's a leak in the gas supply, and it begins to fill up that building, and suddenly there is a spark, tiniest of flames, even perhaps dropping a metal tool onto the concrete is enough. Suddenly the whole building is a burst in flames. That's a picture of like faith. No matter how small faith may be, even the size of a mustard seed, when it's faith and trust in the power of Christ and in the person of Christ, it's enough. It's everything. It moves mountains. It saves souls. It heals diseases. Jesus came to save to the uttermost. Maybe you know that and you believe that. Maybe you have no doubt He was born into the world. You have no doubt He is God and man, that He lived on the earth, that He even did this very miracle that we are reading about tonight. You know perhaps He has suffered and died on the cross, that He's risen from the dead, He's ascended on high. He sits on the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again to judge heaven and earth. And yet, for yourself, personally, you don't believe. And you're quite certain, as a matter of fact, that when someone has faith, they shall be saved. You don't doubt for a moment, perhaps, the precious doctrine of justification by faith, that whoever believes in Christ is just with God and has eternal life. And whoever is not believing on the Son of God has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him even at this moment. Maybe even if you would say you believe that whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. And yet you ask, is it for me? Would I be healed if I venture to come? And when such a sermon like this is set forth, you can even perhaps in your mind's eye see the path that leads to Christ. But do you walk it? This doubting of whether you'd be received of Christ, you see, is a very serious matter. Perhaps you can even begin to see the streams of water that flow from Him that are crystal clear. And yet, do you drink? Are you thirsty? And I can tell you, when you never drink, you don't taste and see that the Lord is good. Therefore, He leads sinners in the way. Therefore, you have no healing. Therefore, you have no peace. Maybe you ask, do I have a right to come? Yes, you may come. You must come. And you may come just as you are, to make yourself ready. It's contrary to the very way that He sets before us. When you're empty, He can fill. Not when you come filled with yourself. And the right, dear sinners, for you to come to Christ does not lie in you as if for some reason you have the right to come, but the reason lies with Him. You show me. Show me and come to the consistory room after the service. Show me from this Word of God where you are forbidden to come and entrust your wretched soul to Christ. Show me a single verse that would give you to conclude that says you may not come. That doesn't give you permission this moment to flee for pardon. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved means nothing less and nothing more than whosoever. And the very nature we see of Jesus as He shows forth His character here in this passage ought to strip away any thought of anyone who would but come and touch the hem of the Master's garment. There is not one poor sinner, blind man, sick woman who came to Him and was put to shame. And are you going to tell me you would be the first? Think of this woman for a moment. She believed that this healing power was sufficient to cleanse what no one else could cleanse. It was not only in His person, she thought it was in His clothes even. Do you believe that Jesus has the power to forgive sin? You know, if you came to someone and you were bankrupt and you said, I have this great debt I need to pay. And he goes to you, well, I better go back to my bank account and check to make sure I have enough to cover the expense. Would you really trust him to do so? But here is one who has no need to look at his bank account. He has everything. He has grace which supplies beyond our need. He has the blood of cleansing that can cleanse the greatest of sinners, can cleanse the greatest of diseases. And was it not already the mercy of our God who gives you to be here this night? Maybe you say, well, I always come. That may be true. But He comes again so low to us, to speak so to our soul. This is the way. Walk in it. And we are invited of this same glorious God. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And he that doesn't have money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine, milk, without money and without price. And to all those who are laboring and heavy laden here, He says to you, come to Me, I will give you rest. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And not only are these entreaties given, are these invitations sent forth, but the ambassadors of Christ are called to say, we beseech you, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. The Lord says, as I live, I have no desire in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and what? Live! Turn you! For why will you die? And this is His commandment, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you come to touch the Master Himself? This doesn't require of us the profound knowledge of a theologian. This touching of Jesus by faith is possible for the youngest children who begin to understand in even a small measure. It doesn't require the strongest of men. Otherwise, this woman would have failed. She was weak, crippled, diseased. It's not in the touch. It's in who she touched. What is it, friend, that keeps you from this one of whom Mark sets before us? Do you come by faith to Him? This woman did not say, if I but touch the hem of His garment, I might be made whole. She says, I shall be made whole. That testifies to her faith in Him. It shall be. He alone can do it. This woman didn't go to Peter or to John and say, please give the Master or heal me. She went directly to the Lord. And maybe you will go to speak to others too about your spiritual concerns and cares, which is good, but only so good as far as they will lead you and point you to Christ. Have you come in this way as this woman? We must know something of what this woman experienced. That the hand of faith is receiving of Christ and all His benefits. That His healing power was to our soul to wash and cleanse us from all sin. And that doesn't mean in the first day we experience this, that we know all about Christ. But He will lead us by His Spirit. He will guide us. He taught this woman also. Have you been made whole by a touch of the Master? He says to this woman, literally, not only, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace, but He says, go into peace. Enter into peace. This world and the wicked have no peace. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. There isn't. But when we by faith touch the Master, cling to Him, rest in Him, we enter into, we have the beginnings of peace. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that will finally one day be completed when we leave this body of our flesh and be raised again in newness of life in the world to come. Mark's question for us, as has been true of all these things which he sets before us, what do you think of Christ? Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.